Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. His name is Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. Josh Ward from WNML joining us here. And, Josh, we'll get to your thoughts on James Wiseman in Memphis in just a second. But the recruiting class is finished. Well, all but finished for the early signing portion of this. Now they've got another 6 or so weeks to sort of wrap it all up. I think Tennessee did an excellent job. They moved up 5 spots in the rankings, landed a couple of nice big defensive pieces. Sort of what are your thoughts on this class, how he closed on early signing period, and what's left on the board? I know that's a lot of questions. Josh, good morning, sir.
Yeah, sure, good morning. And there's a lot that goes into it, of course, with recruiting and signing day, and especially the split-up way that they do things now with the early signing period and then closing things out in February. The close for Tennessee on Wednesday was really good. The targets that Tennessee had on the board late, most of them ended up going to Tennessee. There were a few guys Tennessee still would have liked to have landed, but Tennessee was really happy to land some guys up front, being able to essentially hold on to Tyler Barron, a 4-star defensive lineman from Knoxville, hold on to a wide receiver, Jimmy Callaway, who had been committed to Tennessee for quite a while, and then flirted elsewhere. Kentucky, Florida, Georgia Tech were in there, and then beating out Florida and Florida State to kind of close out the day on Wednesday for Morvin Joseph, an outside linebacker defensive end, was really important. So I think the positives would be that Tennessee was able to hold through the 2019 season. I don't think there's any question that the Vols finishing on a strong note in the season helped them finish on a strong note in recruiting. If Tennessee goes 5-7 instead of 7-5, is Morvin Joseph choosing Tennessee over Florida State and Florida? I don't feel confident that he is, and we can probably say that about a few other guys. So I think Tennessee did a good job to hit needs at different positions on both sides of the football. They found versatility with guys that can move around and play different positions. I talked to Keyshawn Lawrence about that a couple of days ago, the defensive back from Innsworth, who could play corner, could play safety, could play nickel, and he said a lot of the guys in the class can do that, and they hit a bunch of in-state players. What's left, there is tight end Darnell Washington, the highest-rated player on Tennessee's board. I think George is the favorite there. He's planning to announce at the Under Armour game, and there's a chance he's signed. It's been difficult to read into his tweets, into what he's done, but George is the favorite. Tennessee's tried to pull off the upset there. Jay Hardy is a defensive lineman from Chattanooga who does not appear to have signed, and if that's the case, Tennessee can take another shot in January, as he's a commitment to Auburn, but if he's not signed, Tennessee might still have a shot there. And then I think it's about hitting needs. Can you get a little more speed? Can you find another playmaker on either side of the ball in this class with 4 or 5 spots remaining? I think that's the focus to close things out.
Now, was there any surprise to you in regards to a guy they did get, guy that they were trying to get and didn't get? Did anything kind of come out of left field during this period for you, signing day period?
Well, on Wednesday, I think the closest to a surprise would be Jimmy Holiday, who was very much considering Tennessee. He was a TCU commit, and he visited Knoxville a couple of months ago, and he's a guy that will come in and play quarterback. Maybe that's a part of the surprise to the conversation, especially for fans who follow it, because I think a lot of people looked at Holiday and said, okay, he'll just play wide receiver, and he still might, but Tennessee's coaches talked about him as a quarterback and how different he is from Harrison Bailey, the highly touted quarterback out of Marietta who signed with Tennessee. Both will be on campus this spring, so both will be able to go through spring practice, and Holiday is a big-time athlete. Speed is the word you're going to hear first with him. And if he's not at quarterback, he can move over to wide receiver because they need playmaking there. So getting guys like Callaway, who I mentioned, and Jalen Hyatt to go along with Holiday can really help this class. So they I think, still want to find another guy or two with really good speed on the offensive side at wide receiver or in the defensive backfield. But I think Holiday would be the closest to that. And if Tennessee can get Darnell Washington, if that does happen, that would be as big of a pleasant surprise as Tennessee fans could hope for. And, again, I would take the conversation back to where we were talking about Tennessee in September and October and the conversation we're having now. It's very different on the recruiting trail for Tennessee. Yeah.
Josh Ward joining us here, WNML. We'll get to basketball in just a second, but one more for football, and that is nine players along the line of scrimmage. You got another 3 or 4 that are going to play at linebacker. One of them may switch to running back. We know positions aren't necessarily set, but 13 out of the 21 kids are set to play in either the front 7 or along the offensive line in the trenches. Is this a good enough collection if he continues to do this year after year, the level of top 15-ish class? Is it good enough for them to compete with Georgia and Florida and Alabama in the SEC?
It will give Tennessee a better chance to compete. If you're going to say take the three games together, does it give Tennessee a chance to go 2-1 or better on a consistent basis? I don't know that I can say that, but what I would say is that I think Tennessee did a good job of getting a number of guys up front. And last year, Tennessee was able to bring in four guys on the offensive line that I think they feel really good about. Two of those guys played a lot this year, and Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright. So I think it has to be about what you hope to continue to do. And by that I mean, okay, if you can go win consistently, if you can continue to beat the teams you just beat this year in the SEC East, and you can be more competitive, maybe pull off a win. Can you beat Florida this year at home? I mean, how big would that be for just the perception of what Jeremy Pruitt is doing? Maybe you can win more recruiting battles, and you can go from being a top 10 to top 15 class to top 5 to top 10 to where you have more high-level players that Tennessee covets. Because Tennessee did have other players on the board that Jeremy Pruitt wanted to go sign, and they missed out on those players. And they're still really happy with the class that they got. And I still think it's a really good class meeting those needs, as I mentioned. But they need to do more of it, and that's why I still think it's going to take time. If you're going to take the Georgia roster and compare it to the Tennessee roster, well, it's obvious which one comes out first. And I still think that's the case with Alabama very clearly, and I still think that's probably the answer with Florida, although Tennessee's gap with Florida in this class is not that wide. So Tennessee is making good progress. It still has plenty of work to do from a recruiting standpoint, and Jeremy Pruitt knows that.
Let's go from one rectangle surface to another. Basketball, they lose to Memphis. The two guards don't shoot well. They travel, well, they play Cincinnati, and the same thing occurs again. The two guards, I think they go 7-for-20, 1-for-6 from the three-point line. Is this becoming, are you alarmed by this, or do you just think these guys are kind of going through just a patch here, where eventually they'll come out of it because the season's long? But or are you concerned that these two guys, because if they don't play well, the chances of UT winning is very slim?
Yeah, you're right there. And I think your question is becoming a more obvious one to lead the discussion with, and that's probably why it's a concern. I'll continue to say we're in mid-December, but we're getting closer to January. It means we're getting closer to SEC play. And other teams are trying to get things figured out. LSU lost to ETSU, which is a quality team, the other night. But LSU's having a similar conversation of, okay, we can't have these kinds of losses. I think the concern for Rick Barnes the other night was that Tennessee came out of a disappointing performance against Memphis, knowing that its offense was having to try to get things turned around, and the defense didn't show up either. And if they have issues on that side of the ball, then there are going to be some games where they don't have a chance in SEC play probably to win. I still would lean toward the side of Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden get things figured out. I think Jordan needs to understand he can be a really good player. He has to be the leading scorer for Tennessee on most nights. And then you hope the shot falls, and I would bet on that happening. With Turner, there's the question about his shoulder. How does that affect him? I don't know. And there's also, I think, to go along with the shooting performance and where things are with the offense, there's the concern of just how much is being asked of Turner at point guard. I mean, that's still kind of a new role for him. And he's not getting much help in terms of guys handling the basketball as well. I don't know if Josiah Jordan-James is going to play that big of a role there, although I think we're seeing him be more assertive within the offense. I think he can still be a playmaker for Tennessee off the ball. But everybody's going to come back to, okay, what can Turner and Bowden do to lead this offense? And if they don't shoot better, and there are going to be games where they probably just don't, the defense has to be great, and then you hope you can pull things out at the end. And still, if Turner's taking a shot late in the game, I like the chances of it going in, but that's probably the conversation we're going to be having about Tennessee for the next few months.
Josh Ward, WNML, joining us here from Knoxville, talking all things Vols. And listen, we just saw Memphis in Thompson Bowling Arena. James Wiseman decides to quit college basketball. He played three games and then was suspended and fined $12,000 or $11,000. And now he's going to have all the money he wants in the world from whoever he wants it in the world because he's quit school. Number one, how surprised are you that it's taken almost this long for a high-profile player to do this? And number two, do you think this affects the rules of the NCAA moving forward, Josh?
Well, it kind of seemed like a matter of time for somebody in his position to make this decision. And it also probably seemed like this kind of case with the NCAA where he's being forced to sit out and give money to a charity because of the situation with Penny, to where that would probably be what pushes him out the door to say, you know what, I just don't need it. Selfishly, I'm disappointed because I would like to see James Wiseman in college basketball, and I hope this is some kind of wake-up to the NCAA, that things have to change with rules. I'm a big proponent of the name, image, likeness, have been for years, and will continue to be. And maybe with those rules, he still would have ultimately decided, you know what, I don't want to play college basketball, but he was there, wasn't he? And now he's gone. And this is a year where you're also really lacking star power. I don't think there's a lot at the top. There's obviously no Zion that's drawing eyeballs, and I think that's going to continue to be a concern for the NCAA. The NCAA doesn't absolutely need James Wiseman, but the NCAA needs him more than he needs them. I think that's very obvious. So selfishly, I would have liked to have seen him come back and seen what he could do for Memphis, but I also would 10 times out of 10 say he needs to do what's best for him and what he wants to do the most, and it looks like he decided it's not worth it. I'm just going to go ahead and get ready to be a top three pick in the NBA draft, and I don't know how anybody can fault that decision. I think they should do what they want to, and I think more players are going to decide, you know what, I want to go do something else.
Yep, makes a lot of sense. Josh, thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend. I would ask you about how the Titans are doing in East Tennessee right now, but I think I already know.
Yeah, I think Titans fans are still being cautiously optimistic after the Steelers game this past Sunday, but you know, kind of like the Vols, it's one day to the next, going to be different answers there, but big game this weekend over the next couple weeks. I have told Titans fans in Knoxville, don't give up yet. They still have a real shot here.
There you go. Over a 50% chance to make the playoffs still, which is crazy. That's why I don't do math. Josh, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. Josh Ward, WNML from Knoxville, of course. A lot of things going on there with the Vols losing back-to-back games, Memphis and Cincinnati, two critical games in the non-conference. Recruiting class feeling good. Football fans in Knoxville feeling good right now. But we do have to address, listen, we've got to get back to the Titans. We'll do that. But this James Wiseman thing is a huge story in the world of college sports. I think Josh put it perfectly. Mm-hmm. College basketball needs James Wiseman a lot more than James Wiseman needs college basketball. We'll explain what happened, and we'll get your thoughts on it, Derek, when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.